Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members.
Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Enviro Heating and Air, serving all brands of HVAC systems in Sonoma County and Marin County. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' win in Philadelphia against the 76ers to wrap up their road trip. And we'll get into the upcoming home games against the Celtics and the Nuggets. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. At TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, not only do you get to play where the pros play, but you also get to play where Warriors play, like Klay Thompson, who hosted a tournament at TPC Harding Park over the summer.
Thompson Family Foundation Golf Tournament. That was so much fun. Shout out to TPC Harding Park for hosting us. I played great too, so that always helps. Just a fun day on the course for a great cause.
Well, Ray, the Warriors with one of their best wins of the season, certainly since the All-Star break. And, you know, things weren't looking so great after losing back-to-back games in the state of Florida. But to win in Philadelphia against a team that really legitimately has a chance to get to the finals. There are several teams there in the East that are really good. And the 76ers certainly one of them. And to win this game without Klay Thompson, even though the Sixers were without Joel Embiid, still, you know, a meaningful win, I think, on the road. What'd you think?
I think it's a very meaningful win, and no Klay, no Kevon Looney in this game for the Warriors, and it looked like this game was going to get away from them in the third quarter. It was 71-57, and the Warriors went on, I think it was a 16-0 run to get right back in the game, and they played very well down the stretch. And I think the big key in the second half was the defense. They ramped up the defense. One of the things they did, and Draymond was in the middle of it as usual, and Andre Iguodala as well, but they kept Ben Simmons from getting a running start to the hoop. I mean, he was going almost unfettered in the first half, and so they started crowding him. And, you know, philosophy is he doesn't shoot from the outside, so you need to crowd him, but you give him too much space, and those long strides and his tremendous size for a guy who plays his position, he can get to the hoop. And he can get to the hoop repeatedly if you let him. So they made that adjustment in the second half. They got some good work from the bench, which you couldn't always say this year. So they followed up two of their worst losses of the year. Well, I think the Orlando loss was, but, you know, Miami was just a fluke shot at the end by Dwayne Wade. Wasn't that something?
Oh, yeah.
But they followed one of their worst losses of the year to Orlando with, I think, a really spirited win against a quality team that even without Embiid is quite talented and is going to be a real factor in the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Well, you mentioned the bench, and Damian Lee, he comes off the bench and hits four three-pointers in five attempts, and he looks so smooth. He didn't look like a guy who hasn't really played a lot. I mean, most of his playing time has been in the G League, but he looks like he belongs, you know, just very calm and cool, and doesn't seem like a guy who's intimidated by playing in Philadelphia in a game like this. And, you know, when he's able to set his feet, I mean, he's pretty smooth on those three-pointers.
Yeah, and he's played very well in the G League this year. Now marrying into the Curry family, maybe a little bit of influence there as well from long range. Like I said, he's put up some pretty good numbers in the G League. So that might have been a turning point game for him last night. That you know, he's somebody who should get some time here down the stretch, especially when they rest veteran players. There are going to be some openings here and there, and you know, the guy's played in the NBA before. I think it was with Atlanta last year. You know, the guy doesn't seem to be overwhelmed by the moment or the level of play. He just needs to get more time with this team, get more used to these guys playing together. But I think he's a guy who could be some punch off the bench for them going down the stretch. And again, I think that's important because they're going to rest their veterans. They're going to give time to guys like Iguodala and Sean Livingston. And that's to prepare them for the playoffs so they're fresh and ready to go. And that's going to be very important, especially in Iguodala's case. I mean, basically you're playing him to go full throttle in the playoffs, right? And when you look at the numbers, the Warriors' defensive numbers, when Iguodala's on the court this season, you know, they're a middling team otherwise defensively. He's on the floor, they're a top defensive team in the NBA. and Draymond, when he and Draymond are on the floor. So that's something to consider. Just keep that guy rested, and so Damian Lee could get some of those minutes.
Yeah, that's a great point because, I mean, that's really what gets this team in trouble is when they're lazy on defense, you know, and Andre and Draymond just don't allow that. When this team's winning games and when they're taking the lead, it's because they're playing really good defense. I mean, that's when they got trouble. They really ran out of gas in a couple of those games on this road trip. You know, they played, what was it? I think it was 5 games in 8 days, something like that. And yeah, and you start running out of gas, and the first thing to go is defensive intensity. That's where you kind of lose your motivation. But when they do have it, I agree. I mean, it's those two guys that get them going, and that's how you can win playoff games.
Absolutely, and they know this. And usually they do bring up the intensity level in the playoffs. You know, they've been through this rodeo so many times now. They know when to bring the energy on the defensive end. And I think once they get to the playoffs, you'll see that right out of the gate. You don't see it now over the course of a long season. You see it from time to time. You know, a lot of these teams they play, they feel like they only have to play hard for 8 or 10 minutes. I know they don't say that. They wouldn't admit that, but I think subconsciously, and you look at the way they are on the floor, I'll give you an example. Down in Phoenix a couple of Fridays ago against the Suns team that had won 11 games on the year, and the Suns were in control of this game. The Warriors put on a run for about 6 or 7 minutes of the fourth quarter, and that was it. The game was history, and there are a lot of teams like that. But I think that's why it's good to have these challenges on the road like the 76ers. You know, it shows you what they can do when they're paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that the Warriors probably are looking at, I mean, I'm sure they dissect everything that they do, and I know the media has been looking at how they get off to slow starts. I mean, go back to that Rockets game where they fell behind big early, and even in this Sixers game, they fall behind big early. They've got their starters out there. You wouldn't think that that would be something that would be happening, but for some reason, the other team comes out so fired up maybe to try to beat the Warriors that, I don't know, it's almost like they seem like they're saying, wait, we don't know what just hit us.
I think that happens from time to time, and Steve Kerr has talked about it before. They stumble out of the gate in far too many games, and their numbers aren't good in first quarters of many of these games, so they dig themselves a hole. Often they can get out of it. That's part of the problem. I've said this for a couple of years now. You know, they know that they can get out of a hole against even inferior teams or even superior teams, and that knowledge is a dangerous thing. Because, you know, sometimes you get a little lackadaisical. But I think when, again, you get to the postseason, and hopefully that they develop a better habit in this final month of the regular season to where they're starting games better. They got off to a kind of a slow start in Philadelphia last night, but it wasn't fatal. You know, sometimes, you know, it can be fatal in the first quarter with the Warriors, and all of a sudden they're down by 20 points in the second quarter. And again, they can have the firepower to come back in a lot of those games. Sometimes they don't. I just, you know, it's just two different seasons. We all know this. Everybody sees it. You know, they're going to have plenty of challengers in a very tough conference. And they've got to preserve their energy. I think that's a lot of what this is about. This is a team that's good enough to go, say, 50-10 or 52-8 instead of whatever they are, 44-19, something like that. But I think what you're seeing is a team that's still pacing itself and trying to work into DeMarcus Cousins. And I think he's kind of hit a turning point as well, played very well last night in Philadelphia.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he scored 25 points, had 8 rebounds, and he just gives them such a great presence down low. I mean, it's just something that they really haven't had for a while. You know, I don't know if so much the defense is a factor. I think he's still sort of working his way through that, but just the muscle that he has on both ends of the floor, it really makes an impact.
Well, they want to see a little more on the defensive end. He's talked about how he wants to switch more defensively, that's been sort of a problem and that they've been exposed on the defensive end. And, you know, a couple of teams have gone at him hard in the pick and roll, including Houston. So I think you got to, you know, look and pick and choose who you're going to do that against. But I think it's Cousins being a competitor, showing the willingness to expand his game now that he's gotten past the initial period of testing out the Achilles, and he feels a little bit better now. And I think he looks a little bit better. He looks a little bit more active. And I think as time goes on, you'll see more and more of that. And I don't think we've seen the best of him yet, and maybe we'll see that in the playoffs. But, yeah, it's encouraging, very encouraging, because he hit kind of a swell there about a week or two ago but he seems to have bounced out of that. And you know, like I said, last night they needed his scoring. They needed his presence. And, of course, the 76ers didn't have Embiid. That was a big factor as well, but he took advantage of it.
We'll continue our Warriors conversation right after this. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Enviro Heating and Air contractors have a solid reputation for having thorough knowledge of residential heating and air conditioning systems, as well as commercial HVAC systems. For your free HVAC air conditioning and heater estimate, call Enviro today at 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. After the game on Saturday, Warriors head coach Steve Kerr talked about bench play.
You know, Damian Lee hit some big shots. Jordan Bell gave us good minutes. You know, Quinn Cook, when Steph was in foul trouble, he came out there and did a really good job, knocked down a big shot for us. So I just like the grit in the second half. It was great.
Kevin Durant talked about the Warriors winning in pressure situations.
I think most of the guys in the locker room just been pressure-packed moments and just playing the game, whether it's high school, college, or the NBA. So you kind of know how to deal with it. And it's just basketball at the end of the day. You know, guys go out there. And like I said, Damian Lee came out there after not playing for a month almost and made four threes and was a huge reason for us to win this game. So it's just like it's just ball at the end of the day.
Andre Iguodala was asked about the Warriors' experience helping them to execute at the end of games.
Yeah, it's an incredible calm. It's like a different type of calm coming down the stretch. It's almost like coach is like, are you guys into the game? And it's like, you know, we've been here too many times. So we understand, we know how to execute. We know what we want to get to. You know, we can tell what option we're going to get based on which way Steph goes, which way KD goes, which way Draymond goes. So we're just so in sync. And it's been a beautiful thing. And hopefully we can continue to keep rolling.
We'll have more Dubs OT right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark McLennan at Kane's Tire in Santa Fe. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
Speaking of the center position, there is a report out there that the Warriors are interested in former Warrior Andrew Bogut. Now, there are other teams that are interested, of course, including Philadelphia, but apparently he played great in Australia. He was the league MVP. He was the defensive player of the year there. So, I mean, he's always been a really good rim protector, really good passer. Can you imagine him fitting in again with this team? I know I can, but what do you think are the chances the Warriors could get him back?
Well, it sounds like 76ers and a couple other teams might be in the mix as well. You know, if he wants the old familiar surroundings, here they are. I think it would be a good fit, and I think that there are certain teams where the Warriors still need that size at the center position when they got Cousins, but he's not the defensive player that Bogut is. If Bogut's healthy, and, you know, he's 34 now, he never was a great leaper to begin with, but he's a presence in the middle. If nothing else, he can spend a couple of fouls for you and give you a physical presence. The only question is now, what do you do with the roster spot? Because Damian Lee is playing well, as we just mentioned, and he could be taking that spot, and maybe you want him. And, you know, his scoring punch off the bench, and a guy who is getting some valuable experience right now. So you knock somebody else off to make room for Bogut.
Yeah, I mean, what does that say about Kevon Looney, who's played really well at times? I mean, you know, he was the starting center earlier this year. I mean, they've gone through some different centers when you think about it all throughout the season. But, you know, Looney's not a guy who's going to give you a lot of offense, but neither is Bogut. It really poses an interesting question about what you do with the roster.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's a couple of other players you might be looking at, like Quinn Cook or Damian Lee, but, you know, they've got Jordan Bell as well, and he has some playoff experience now and certainly is a lot more agile than Bogut is. Played well in Philadelphia last night. He's another guy who, you know, helped out on the bench. So, and these are things that the Warriors have to weigh, but, you know, all things being considered, a guy with Bogut's experience and his resume, if he's willing to come here and you've got 5 or 10 minutes that you could use for him, you know, I'd be hard to turn that down.
I wanted to touch a little bit on what Andre Iguodala said about Steph Curry. And you know, not that it came out of nowhere, because we always think about Steph Curry as being, you know, Hall of Fame player and, you know, ranking high in the pantheon of guards in NBA history. But, you know, Andre's saying that he's the second best point guard ever behind Magic Johnson. You know, an interesting comment, because, you know, Curry's still got a long way to go in his playing career. Yeah. There's been so many great ones. But when I think of, like, the quintessential point guard, I think John Stockton. But, I mean, Curry just does so many other things well, you know, the threes and all that, that I don't always think about him as, you know, the top point guard. I always think, you know, just guard in general. But what are your thoughts about what Andre was saying?
Well, I think Andre's right for now, you know.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Magic and you mentioned Stockton, and these are two guys I'm very familiar with. I saw them courtside many a game in the 1980s, both in Salt Lake City and Los Angeles, and I covered the Jazz for 3 years and also did some stringing for the Associated Press and other outlets in the early 80s in Los Angeles. So I saw plenty of both of these guys. And I'm just telling you right now, nobody controlled the game or had as much of an influence over a game as Magic Johnson did. The ball is in his hands most of the time, okay?
Yeah.
You know, this is not a knock against Steph and the way he plays. He's a different type of player, you know, and I think that's part of what Andre was saying, if I remember his comments, is, you know, you've got different types of players, and, you know, Steph couldn't be the type of player that Magic is. Magic couldn't be the type of player that Steph is. You know, it's really apple and oranges and different eras, different style of play. You know, Magic started shooting threes later in his career, but he wasn't a you know, great outside shooter. He was good enough. I mean, where he was making his money was running the break and rebounding. He was a great rebounding guard. And, of course, he was a quantum leap in his time for his size to be a point guard. But the man controlled the game. And, you know, he was the straw that stirred the drink for the Lakers in Showtime in 1980s. He's what gave them their aura and their flash and everything that you can say that's a positive attribute for the Lakers, as well as being a tremendous clutch player. Steph Curry, I mean, he's changed the game. One of the guys who's changed the game all through basketball, all through all levels. And we're seeing so many guys coming up, like Trae Young, who ridiculously got ejected that game for the Hawks.
So yeah.
Just a joke. But, you know, he's coming along and starting to put up numbers, you know. The game is now about long-range shooting and slam dunks and high-percentage shots. Well, the Lakers certainly were about high-percentage shots because Magic ran that break, and, you know, they got so many fast-break buckets and layups and dunks. They weren't about three-point shots in that era. Could Magic do that today? Maybe. I mean, my theory always is the great players will figure it out if you put them in another era, right?
Yeah.
Their skill set will transfer. So let me just say right now, absolutely, Magic Johnson is the greatest point guard I have ever seen. No question, hands down. I saw game after game with him, and like I said, how he controlled the game. But Steph Curry is putting himself on his own planet. You know,
yeah.
Where by the time he's done with his career, the numbers may be so overwhelming that we'll have to say that he's greater than Magic. But that bar is really, really high. But it's a compliment to Steph that you're starting to make those comparisons, like Brady versus Montana, right? I mean, Montana just had that incredible postseason record, but Brady, just the sheer volume of accomplishment, might overcome him.
Yeah, and I agree with you about the rankings there, Curry behind Magic Johnson. You know, Andre Iguodala actually made another statement that maybe didn't get as many headlines, but he was talking about how Curry and Durant, they never would ever take a bad shot because for them, any shot almost is a good shot. And he was comparing it to Michael Jordan, and I really like that comparison. I hadn't really heard that, but it is so true that even if they have a bad shooting night or if they're off balance or they're, you know, maybe taking too many shots off the dribble, it just seems like, yeah, you still want them shooting the ball. You never feel like it's just a terrible, terrible shot when either Curry or Durant is taking it.
Did you see that shot that KD made, the step back three the other night from about 27 feet?
Yeah, it's almost like he's improved a lot on that shot. I guess he's been working on it a lot.
He's really been working on the Dirk. He's going full on Dirk now. That's not a bad thing, at least for some of his shots. So he's actually expanded his repertoire, which is really, really scary. And so there are very few times during a season where I cringe or you know, put my head in my hands. I'll get it right. The face palm where I say, oh, KD, what are you doing there? Don't take that shot. I mean, I could probably count on the fingers of one hand how many times I've said that about him or Steph, because they're so much of a threat anywhere on the court now. Yeah, I mean, there is no bad shot. Hardly any, let's put it that way.
Dubs OT continues in just a moment. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Enviro's goal is to provide each family and business with the most energy-efficient heating and air conditioning system to fit their needs. Enviro is happy to provide a free estimate for your new energy-efficient HVAC system. Contact Enviro Heating and Air today to get an estimate and lower your monthly heating and air conditioning energy costs. Call 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. To finish up, let's talk about the upcoming week, because you have the Celtics coming in to Oracle and then the Nuggets, who are right behind the Warriors in the standings. The Celtics have been slumping lately. So, I mean, they've probably been sitting there trying to figure out how to get their act together. They just lost at home to the Rockets, another big game for Harden, but I'm not sure what's wrong, but you would think maybe the cure could be coming to Oakland as far as motivation, because, you know, you come into a game like that and it's always the talk about, hey, this could be a finals matchup.
Yeah. I mean, this is a game that should have both teams' attention, no matter how well or how poorly they're playing. And the last time the Warriors played the Celtics, I think the Celtics had been on a 5-game winning streak and the Warriors won a close one in Boston. So they know this team can be tough. They know it's a tough matchup for them. So whatever has been happening with Boston, I think the Warriors, are gonna take it like, you know, that doesn't matter. We know they're gonna come at us for this game, and you know, the Warriors are gonna see their job to, you know, disabuse the Celtics of any notion that they can challenge the Warriors in the finals. You know, they want to win these games against these Eastern Conference contenders, just to put that seed of doubt in their head, like, you know, yeah, well, we went through ups and downs this year, but here we are now. Here we are, and this is what you're going to have to contend with if you meet us in the finals. Set that seed of doubt, like I said. And, of course, the Nuggets, I mean, that's a big game because they want to extend their lead and clamp down that top seed in the Western Conference. And, you know, it's not the be-all, end-all. They showed that last year, although they had a Game 7 in Houston that almost got away, and then Houston started bricking every three in sight. But, you know, and that's not a position I think they want to be in again.
Yeah, the Nuggets have not been a great road team. They've lost a couple of games in a row, and I mentioned slumping. Well, Boston, they've lost 7 of the last 10 games. I mean, it's really kind of strange to see what's going on there, because they're dropping down in the standings. I mean, the Celtics now are the 5 seed, and, you know, at one point it looked like they might be more near the top.
That surprises me. Because I thought they were getting their act together, but there's been some drama there this year. There's no doubt about it. And as good a coach as Brad Stevens is, I think right now they're dealing with a lot of stuff. And they got, they ran into James Harden, you know, in their last game. So, there's got to be a sense of urgency here, because, you know, they are losing position. And, maybe they try to pick up somebody like a Carmelo Anthony to give them a little bit of a boost. But, this is a critical point for them, where they got to get it together and, stop the bleeding before the postseason commences. It's a little bit surprising, because I thought this was a team that was going to contend for the top spot.
By the way, I think they should have T-shirts for just KD and Kyrie that say, talk to me in July. Or maybe on the front it says, talk to me in ... and then on the back, July.
I think KD pretty much made that clear a few weeks ago. He talked a lot about that. And I was thinking about this the other night, because we made some comments about it on the podcast, you know, the night it happened, right?
Right.
And I thought to myself, yeah, he's not helping himself here. But, you know, maybe I was wrong about that, because there has been no talk about it, really. Nobody's asking KD about it, are they?
No.
They don't dare ask KD about it. They'll bite your head off. So maybe it worked the way he wanted it to. Because, you know, it's there in the background, and that's the way it is when you're going to have those kind of contracts instead of signing a long-term deal. But I think he just succeeded in sort of quashing that fire for now. But, you know, the final game of the season, in the postseason, whether it's in the finals or whatever, as soon as the final horn sounds, the speculation will be on once again. He'll be asked about it after that game. You can bet that.
Oh, yeah. Well, and same with Irving, because he was quoted as saying, ask me July 1st. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, both guys are in the similar situation and trying to, you know, just play out the rest of the season with all of this surrounding them really the rest of the way.
Yeah, you know, but again, they're guys who should be used to it. They've been in that situation before, especially Durant. But so it's kind of their own making. But that's how they've decided to handle it. And I think in KD's case, it's probably working now. I mean, we're talking about it, but nobody's talking to KD about it.
No.
And I think Kyrie's trying to do the same thing.
All right, Ray. Well, looking forward to these games this week, and look forward to talking about it with you. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you, Joe. It'll be fun. We're finally getting into March, and what are we, about 5 weeks away from the start of the postseason. Finally.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.